belief is not some sort of commitment, some sort of obedience, some sort of works. Belief is simply being persuaded. Now, this bothers people because they think, well, if that were true, then bad people could go to heaven.
Right, and guess what the good news is?
Bad people could go to heaven. Yeah, exactly.
What's required to have everlasting life? Ask any number of Christians that same question, and you're likely to get a range of answers. That's the subject of today's broadcast of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Welcome to our first ever broadcast. You heard that right. This is our maiden voyage, and we're so excited to be tackling this much-needed subject. In today's broadcast, our hosts are going to dust off one of the world's most famous verses and unearth a seemingly elusive truth. But I promise you this, they'll make it so clear, you'll wonder how you never saw it before. Today's discussion will open a series of episodes called Confident in Christ, which happens to be the title of a well-known book by Dr. Bob Wilkin, the host of today's show. He'll be sharing the mic with co-host Sean Lazar. And now, coming to you straight from the GES studios, this is Grace in Focus. What is saving faith?
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
And my name is Bob Wilkin.
And we're here to put the focus on God's grace in Christ. Today, we want to talk about one of the most popular verses in the Bible. Everybody knows this verse by heart, but not everyone understands what it necessarily means. And I'm talking about John 3:16.
John 3:16, terrific verse, much misunderstood.
So let's begin by reading John 3:16. I'm reading from the New King James, and it says this, it's Jesus speaking, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What does it mean, Bob, for Jesus to say, whoever believes in him has everlasting life? We think we know what that means, but the truth is, there's a lot of controversy about it, isn't there?
Exactly. There's three basic views on what it means to believe in him. Some people say to believe in him means we simply believe in him, but we also have to do good works, so that good works are understood.
So they basically redefine faith to include good works, so that if you don't do good works, then you're not really believing. Is that it?
Well, that would be a second view. The first view would be the Arminian view, which would basically be you've got to have faith and works. The second view would be the Calvinist view. You've got to have faith that works. If you have real faith, it really works. But the third view is simply what I call the eclectic view or the grace view, is you simply believe in him. It's simply a matter of believing his promise that you have everlasting life, that you'll never perish.
All right, well, let's talk about that a little more, because most Christian churches through history, and even today, have not believed that we're saved by simply believing. They've said it's belief plus. It's
right.
Belief plus moral things, religious things, getting baptized, taking this sacrament, that sacrament. And it seems like Jesus is teaching something radically more simple here.
Well, yes, all other world religions are calling for doing. Jesus is calling for believing, and he alone calls for believing in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not calling for believing in some fivefold path. He's talking about believing him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the manner in which he loved the world is that he gave his only begotten Son. He did what he had asked Abraham to do, but Abraham wasn't required to follow through. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. Jesus is talking about himself, and he's saying the one who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this is radical.
And this kind of gives lie to the belief that Jesus was just a great moral teacher.
Exactly.
He's saying, if you believe in me, I'm going to give you something that no other moral teacher has ever promised and is even able to give. I'm going to give you everlasting life. I have the authority to do that. I have the power to do that if I am the object of your faith.
Exactly. This is an amazing promise. And unfortunately, you would think in Christianity we would get it, but somehow we've moved away from the promise and we've added in works, either saying that works must be added or works must follow in order for this to be, quote unquote, true faith?
Well, you know, I was having a discussion once with a man, and I went over John 3:16 with him, and I asked him to just repeat it for me, and he did. He knew it by heart. And then I asked him, what was the one condition to have everlasting life? And he said, well, you know, you have to be a good person. And I said, yeah, okay, well, now, according to John 3:16, what's the one condition? And he says, well, you have to go to church and, you know, stay married and all that stuff. And I said, no, what does it say according to John 3:16? And he had to kind of fumble around in his mind for a little bit before he remembered, oh, it says believes. He knew it by heart, but he didn't know what the one condition was, even though he knew that verse by heart. You might be listening to us right now, and you probably know John 3:16, but have you ever considered that the one condition that Jesus places to have everlasting life is to believe in him for it? Now, the question is, a lot of people doubt whether they have believed or not because they're confused about the nature of belief. And how would you define belief, Dr. Wilkin?
See, the problem, Sean, is that people have somehow read their theology into the Bible, and they've changed the simple promise of everlasting life to the believer into a promise of everlasting life for the one who works. So I would say believing is simply being persuaded. Belief is not some complicated issue. For example, we're in a room here and the lights are on. Well, we believe the lights are on because the evidence convinces us. We live in the United States. We know that Washington, D.C., is the capital of the United States. That's not a matter of commitment or obedience or anything else. Belief is simply being persuaded. Now, this bothers people because they think, well, if that were true, then bad people could go to heaven.
Right. And guess what the good news is?
Bad people can go to heaven. Yeah, exactly.
Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. I believe it's in Romans chapter 4 where Paul says God justifies the ungodly.
Yes.
Not the righteous man, the ungodly. The people who just simply believe in him for that. Now, I'm thinking about Abraham. Abraham is kind of the paradigm for the kind of faith that Jesus is talking about here. God made him a promise. And Paul says Abraham was justified when he was persuaded that God was able to do what he promised. That's what faith is, isn't it? Being persuaded that the promiser is going to do what they say they're going to do.
That's exactly right. Now, people, lots of pastors, lots of theologians poo-poo that. They say, oh, no, that's too easy. They call that easy believism. They call it cheap grace. But I like what Dr. Charles Stanley used to say. And Dr. Stanley said, wait a minute, that's not cheap. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
right.
A good deal. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely free. Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay part of it with his blood.
That's right.
He paid all of it. And lots of times we shrink back because we think, well, if this were true, then hypothetically, a person might not live the way he should live, and yet he would still be guaranteed to go to heaven.
So, lots of people believe in Jesus, but they don't necessarily believe salvation is by faith apart from works. And they don't even necessarily believe in Jesus for salvation. Are they born again? Is that enough?
No, and the reason is to believe in Jesus means something specific in John 3:16 or any of the texts. There's over 100 texts in the New Testament that say it's simply by believing in him. And what it means is that we are convinced that he guarantees everlasting life to the one who believes in him. For example, 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul shares his own testimony, and he says, I am an example of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So if you don't believe in him for everlasting life, you haven't believed in him in the biblical sense.
You have to believe in him for the right thing.
Exactly.
So let's say someone believes in Jesus, but all they've ever believed in him for was like a new Escalade or a beautiful wife or a rich husband or something. They haven't believed in him saving. They believe in him for something, but not in a saving way. They haven't believed in him for everlasting life. That's a specific promise that they are called to believe in Jesus for.
Exactly. And let's say they believe in Jesus to give them a chance to go to heaven. Let's say they believe that by faith in him, they can make it if they remain faithful. That's not believing in him for everlasting life. That's believing in him for a chance for everlasting life.
Right. So some people might say they believe in Jesus to save them on the basis of their works. Well, he didn't promise that. That's not what John 3:16 says. Some people believe in Jesus to grade them on a curve, you know, as if God accepts people into heaven based on how well you do so long as you're better than the average. Well, that's not what Jesus promised. Jesus promises everlasting life as a present possession. And you need to believe in Jesus for what he promised.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at John 3:16, what's he promising? Has everlasting life, will never perish. Will never perish is explained in verse 18 as will never be eternally condemned. Having everlasting life is explained in verse 17 as being saved forever. You know, Baptists often call this once saved, always saved. Think of it this way. Remember John 11:26, Jesus is talking to Martha, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of resurrection. And then he says, and he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, that's the promise of life. And he's saying, if you have a living human being that believes in Jesus, they'll never die spiritually. They'll never experience the second death. Then he asks this question, do you believe this? He isn't asking her about her commitment, about her obedience. He isn't asking her about an Escalade. He's asking her, do you believe that the one who lives and believes in me will never die? And her answer is, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, was to come into the world. So it's very simple. To believe in Jesus is to believe what he promises. Everlasting life won't perish. The problem with that is, Sean, it's hard to believe because there's so many people on Christian TV today saying something different. Mm-hmm. Christian books, pastors, churches.
I think that's exactly right. I think a lot of people who know John 3:16, what they think it means is something like, whoever walks an aisle gets everlasting life. Whoever raises up their hand during an altar call gets everlasting life. Whoever kind of feels like a little something in their heart, they get everlasting life. Whoever commits to do missions or to be a better person or to not fall again, they get everlasting life. But that's not what Jesus promised. What Jesus promised very simply to you is that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Jesus does the work, so all you need to do is to believe in him for that promise.
That's exactly right. And notice it's a present possession. Mm-hmm. He's promising this now. He who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47. And it's not based on works. It's by faith alone.
This might be new to you. You might have known John 3:16, but you've never really considered what it meant, that you can have everlasting life right now as a present possession just by believing in Jesus for it. You can be assured of your everlasting life just by taking his word that Jesus is going to do what he's promised to do. You can have it right there, whoever you are, wherever you are, just by believing in him for that free gift. Now, isn't that good news?
Amen.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that clear explanation of what saving faith is and what it's not. And thank you to all our friends in the listening area. Tune in tomorrow for our conversation about Jesus' parable of the four soils in Luke chapter 8. What Sean and Bob uncover about that fascinating and often misinterpreted passage is sure to bring grace into clearer focus for you. This broadcast of Grace and Focus is made possible by listeners like you. To partner with this ministry, visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. While there, you can also sign up for our podcast where you can listen to previous episodes, join our mailing list, and receive our Grace and Focus magazine. The best part is all of these resources are completely free. And when we say free, we really mean free. Until next time, keep grace in focus.